Hey everybody, this is Dr. Don Callen coming to you from South Central Washington State. It's cherry time almost, and I hope you are getting ready to have a bunch of cherries. There should be a real abundance of cherries this year, and they are healthy and good for you. And also they're especially, we read at least some of the doctor's reports that that's especially for sometimes arthritis and other sorts of pain. Certainly you can take Advil and those other things, but the natural way also is just eating cherries. So that's a simple way, but you may still need the Advil or whatever else to help cut the pain, but cherries are a good source of many good vitamins, and so we just encourage you to do that. It's they're good for you. God bless you all. I want to start out with today. This is as we start out, I'd encourage you all if you find some paper, some papers so you can write down some notes. And we're going to be in the book of Revelations, and we're going to be hitting quite a few different places. You know, we're mainly going to be in the early part of Revelations, but we are going to be looking also a little bit at some different views of the way people look at the subject. But before we do that, we want to just come give a prayer up to God and perhaps hear what He might say to us as well. And so this is going to be in two short parts. Your love for me is everlasting. Your provision for me is everlasting. My praise for you is everlasting because you have given me your Holy Spirit. Thank you. I praise and adore you, and by your grace I obey your every word for me. Open my eyes so I can see, and open my ears that I can hear. Place in me the will, the power, and the wisdom to go, do, speak, declare your will and authority, that the kingdoms of this earth become your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. My Jesus and my Father, Almighty God. Then this is what God may say to you. May your eyes be open and your ears be open, that you may see and hear what I am doing in the earth. Come, be a part of my doings, establishing and furthering my kingdom reign. Rejoice before me evermore. My power is released as you rejoice before me. Be glad, for I have chosen you, and you are mine. You please my face, and it is good to smile at and because of my children. Holy Spirit, live big in these people and their households, that they always be a rejoicing before me. Amen. God bless you all. We are in the book of Revelation. First off, let me tell you some of the resources. I need to give credit to the various resources. Certainly, the Bible being the main resource. I sort of go back and forth between different translations, the New King James Version, New American Standard Version. There's also one called the Holman translation. And I, from time to time, I'll be using various ones of those. And quite often, when I say New King James, that happens to be the edition that I'm using is the one that the editor of it, general editor, is Jack Hayford. It's called the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. The there's also, as far as the Holman, is the Apologetic Study Bible. And the New American Standard is just the New American Standard. It's probably the most accurate there is. Most of them are very close. And then we are studying also such people as Dr. Ron Cottle, that some of the work he has done. He is a head of a group of churches worldwide, not so much churches, it's a matter of being able to study theology and the study of the Bible, and so that you can, if you want, come to a local campus, and or you can go and be able to take it in various places through video, and also sometimes teachers coming to local areas if there's enough students. And the other one is that we'll be using is Victorious Eschatology, and that's by Harold Eberle and Martin Trench. And let me, since that one is probably going to consume maybe one-third or so of the time, let me mention that if you want to write them, it's WorldCast Publishing for this book, P.O. Box 10653 Yakima, Yakima, Washington 98909. That P.O. Box again is 10653. And they also have a website. It's that you could get the book off of, and it's www, and it's WorldCast. That's WorldCast, and then the word publishing.com. And that is just one of many as far as understandings of the Book of Revelations, but it seems to be, to me, what I have studied, that it brings together things perhaps in the best way. And certainly there is plenty of other things out there. If you want to know another very highly intelligent and a person gifted with the Spirit of God, with revelation, Perry Stone, I think it's either .org or .net, and he is certainly, God has given him great revelation about the Bible as far as the comparisons between the United States and other kingdoms, as far as the Roman kingdom, the Egyptian kingdom, the Israelis, and the old kingdom of Israel. And it's a very exceedingly remarkable correspondence that is way beyond the realm of just chance. And so I would also encourage you to look at that. But let's get into this. What do we talk about when we say different views of the Book of Revelation? Well, there is what is called the preterist, the P-R-E-T-O-R-I-S-T. Their view is that pretty much the whole Book of Revelation was from start to finish completed in the first century. That this was, that just as the language says that this was a revelation, when the word revelation deals with a veil, and revelation means to take away the veil. Okay, so what is this? This is taking away the veil of things that are about to take place. Now, this, as it was written, it wasn't written that it was going to take place way off in the future, as far as, yes, it is the future at the time of that writing, but it wasn't saying that, okay, this is going to be 2,000 years away, but that this thing was going to start happening right then. Now, was it all going to happen right then? Or all way off in the future? No, I think from what we see is that it was going to start right then, but yes, it was going to go and go and go over periods of time into the future. So let's look at that perhaps that way. That would not be the preterist way, because the preterist would be the first century only. We also have what is that we'll probably prefer in this, called the partial preterist, which is this goes forward into it's much of the book of Revelations was fulfilled in that very first century, the first maybe one third of it, and then the rest went on and on, and it's happening right now as well. And so there's still chapters to go that are yet to be fulfilled, but so many have already been fulfilled. Now, what happened with Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ, we see with him that he was giving this revelation to John because of the churches then, but it was also for the churches in the future. So this was a gift of God to his church, and it was to deal with the churches then, to be a revelation to them, to encourage them, to also correct them from problems that was beginning then. It was also to be a uplifting, because many of them were going to go through great persecution, and yet one church, he said, because he commended them so much for things that they did, and yet he said, I'm going to keep you from persecution. Well, what has that to do with things? Well, start thinking of some of the disciples. He said, okay, some of you, or most of you, you're going to die just for, you're going to lay down your life like I have laid down my life, and it's going to be forfeited, but it's going to be good seed, and it's going to bring forth more fruit, abundant fruit. And yet spoke about this one disciple who we look at and most likely believe that it was John the Apostle, and some believe it might have been this is a very minority belief, but some believe that it might have been John Mark, and it would take a while to explain that position. They have a good argument for that, but I have not accepted that yet, and I believe there's more support the other way. And so it is with not just the apostles, that some are going to suffer and die early, but some are going to live on. So the message and the encouragement from Jesus Christ that was revealed to John, and that it was revealed to him for his people, the people that he loves, those that were seeking after God. And God promises that as you seek after God diligently with all your heart, he will be revealed to you. So we see that in modern times, that we want to have a heart after God, so that we're not, this isn't something ancient history, let's apply it to us now. The other, some of the other positions are historicists. Now this is not the historical view, this is historicists. This is saying that as you get into the book of Revelations in chapters 2 and 3 and you see all these different churches, these seven churches that are mentioned in chapter one, and then the letters sent to these seven churches in chapters two and three, is that their view is that there's several different church ages throughout history, and each one is an age, but so that there's dispensations of time that God deals with people differently depending on their response, and grouping everybody together. Well, there's a little bit of truth in that, but it's little, and it's not what I believe is historical or true. There is also the historical view, which was the view by the Protestant Church as they broke away from the Catholic Church. Lots of people think, well, that's this modern-day view of end times at some place off in the future. No, that's not what Christianity believed. And you had the Roman Catholics didn't, and the Protestants didn't. Now, this modern belief, which is called perhaps the futurist or premillennial, is that everything's, so much of this Bible, the New Testament, is all going to be compressed into 7 years, and specifically mostly the last three and a half of those 7 years, and someplace off in the future, that those, what they call the last days, are way off then. But that's not the way the apostles spoke. That isn't the way Jesus spoke. They said that the Antichrist, that the only place that mentions Antichrist is in John, and it's in two small letters of John. He was saying that there's many Antichrists around at that time. Well, let's look at a perspective of just when was John written? Well, and when was the book of Revelations written? When was 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John written in comparison to all the other books? Well, let's see. The New Testament is written, what I see, and that the earliest was written is the book of James, and it was written about 45 A.D., maybe 46, 47, but most likely around 45 in that time period. And so it was the first one that was written. Now, who's James? There's three James in the New Testament. James, the son of Zebedee, of course, that's Peter, James, and John. James, the son of Alphaeus. Who's son of Alphaeus? Well, as far as I know, James, the son of Alphaeus, was the brother of Matthew, the tax collector. He was also a tax collector, most likely, or at least a brother of him. And so, who was the other James? Well, it was James, the son of Joseph and Mary, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, the same as Jude was. Jude was also the brother of James, the son of Joseph and Mary, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. So we have two books, letters, the book of James and the book of Jude, and they're quite different. That's because they're a revelation understanding of God. They're not saying that it's different in that they contradict each other. They don't. No, it's two views as far as revelations of God to them that were to the church, because the church needed it, and who it was written to. Like James was written to as far as to Jewish believers, not to the Gentiles that Paul was reaching. He was reaching out to the Jews, the Jewish believers all over the Roman Empire. And so let's get back to these different views. One of us is, as I said, futurist. Just everything's way off in the end times, that very little applied, if anything, applied to the early time that it was written. Yet Jesus has promised to all of us that if we, let's look at in the book of Revelation, it says right here the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Okay, why? He didn't say this would happen someplace out in the future, but these things are going to shortly take place. Like, we're looking at months or years. Okay, months or years, not centuries and millennia. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So what was he said? It said right here, it says, must shortly take place. Like this was imminent. Okay, these things are beginning almost immediately. Or even before they receive the letter, these things were going to begin to take place. Before they get this letter of revelation, this word, that even then, that they were going to be, these things were going to begin right then. As it wasn't 2,000 years in the future. Now, certainly, it's going to continue into the future. But let's look at it just as it was revealed from Jesus Christ. It's what does it say, the revelation of Jesus Christ, what does that mean again? It means taking away the veil. Jesus Christ was taking away the veil so that people could begin to see and expect what was going to come about so that they could be prepared and so that they were aware that they wouldn't be ignorant. God said in the Old Testament, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, Jesus Christ didn't want his people to perish because of the lack of knowledge. He wanted them to be aware that they might be prepared and know what was going to come upon them. And so, who's it to? It says, this is John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. And it says, grace to you and peace from him who was and is to come. Okay, the question is, we were saying James was the first book that was written in the New Testament. Okay, this view might differ with a few people, but most likely the book of John is the very last book written in the New Testament. Revelations happens to be fairly early. And the first, second, and third John, which are the short epistles, come in between. Now, most people view that the book of Revelations was the last thing written way out during when Domitian was emperor of Rome from 81 AD to 96 AD. Well, we know at 96 AD, John was still alive. So they believe that he was in persecution on the island of Patmos under Domitian. But let's see about that. Now, that may be true, but we see from an ancient New Testament called the Syriac New Testament in the second century. So this is just after John died, the next 100 years after John died. It figured that he died at right around 100 AD or before 100 AD. So the very next century, this New Testament, one of the most ancient versions of the New Testament was called the Syriac or the Peshitta, I don't even know for sure how to pronounce it. It's P-E-S-H-I-T-O, or called the Syriac. And this is what's on the title page of the book of Revelations. It says, the revelation which was made by God to John the Evangelist in the Isle of Patmos, into which he was thrown by Nero Caesar. Nero Caesar? Well, that isn't the end of the first century. Nero became head of the empire in 54 AD, when he most likely killed his predecessor, Claudius. And he ruled from 54 AD to 68 AD. And let's look at something else. According to Tertullian, also wrote that John was boiled in oil during Nero's reign and then sent to the island of Patmos. Remember, we have in history, at least we know this time, we think we've got good reason to believe he was boiled in oil twice, and perhaps even three times. Now, and yet, you see, God protected him like the three Hebrew servants under Daniel. When Daniel was under Nebuchadnezzar, there was three that would not bow and the knee to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And they were saved in the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar saw in the fire the three men walking around, all their bondages, when they were thrown in, had been burned off, but yet they were perfectly unharmed. And there was a fourth man walking in that fiery furnace with them that he declared was like the Son of God. In other words, God himself was in there with them. And he called for those three to come out. And they were miraculously preserved, just like then also John the Apostle was miraculously preserved. Tertullian says that you have Rome, where Peter endures a passion like his Lord. Well, that means he died like his Lord on the cross. It was upside down for Peter because he said he wasn't worthy to die in the same way that Jesus died on the cross. So they obliged him by turning the cross upside down, and so he died that way. And then it says, Tertullian says, and where Paul wins his crown in a death like John's. It's not talking about John the Apostle, but John the Baptist, who was beheaded. We know that Paul was beheaded, just like John the Baptist was beheaded. And that was because he wouldn't be crucified, because Roman citizens, he was a Roman citizen, the capital punishment for him, he would not be put to some torturous death, but it would be a quick death of a beheading. And that was one of the rights of a citizen of Rome. If you're going to die, you're going to die quickly. If you are convicted or at the whim of the Caesar in this case. Tertullian goes on and says, where the apostle John was first plunged unhurt into boiling oil and then remitted to his island exile. So because he was not killed by the boiling oil or harmed by the boiling oil, he was then sent to Patmos. So we also read that he was first imprisoned under Claudius. His reign was 41 to 54 AD. Now, what did Claudius do? Well, one of the things is he expelled all the Jews out of Rome. Now, this wasn't the Christians. He was expelling the Jews. Why did he expel the Jews? Well, it's commonly believed that, well, he didn't want to have atheists in Rome. And actually, Jews and Christians were considered atheists because they did not worship any visible God. Because they didn't have a visible God that they worshipped, lots of people thought they were atheists. And so he had expelled Jews. Now, the Jews, after his reign, were allowed back into the city. Now, when did Paul and Peter and John, when did they all suffer this persecution in Rome? Well, first off, the common belief, all that must have been during the persecution of Nero. Well, it actually happened for all three of them before the persecution of Nero. Nero started this general persecution at the burning of Rome. But the burning of Rome, this is around, I think, around 64 A.D., 65 A.D., in that time period. And he reigned until 68 A.D. when he committed suicide. But as far as Peter and Paul, died most likely around 62 A.D., that they were killed before the general persecution of all the Christians. And most likely it was that John also was likely to have been boiled in oil at that earlier date and put on the Isle of Patmos. Well, that's why we come up with a very early writing, sometime in the 60s, in the early to mid 60s, maybe latter 60s at the latest, of the writing of the Book of Revelations, of that revelation from Jesus Christ. He didn't just sit down and dream off this stuff and write it. No, this, I mean, God took him, and we see that he was there and had this revelation, and says, like, in his revelation that Jesus was giving him, then all of a sudden, not only was he writing part of this, but then all of a sudden he was taken to heaven and he saw other things. Now we gotta understand something about the Book of Revelation and the book and the things here on earth. The things here on earth, we see in natural means, and we cannot transfer directly those things that are seen in heavenly to the earthly realm. We can't say that, okay, there's four horses going around and bringing all these things happening on earth by these four horses. No, there's things in the spiritual realm that take place. They have results on the earth because of what has happened in the spiritual realm. Now, that is how healings and power happen today. That is how these supernatural healings that are given through ministries, various ministries. There's millions upon millions of people being healed today. Some just by their praying, calling out upon God. Sometimes they might go to some quote-unquote evangelist that has a gift of healing, or that maybe it's just a matter of wherever they go, maybe they don't have a gift of healing, but they preach the word, and because of the word, according to the word of God, that there will be signs following, and they're not laying their hands on anybody. They're not doing anything or so much that the people be healed, but because they preach the word, God all of a sudden shows up with miracles. Now we see this beginning back in the, especially with even people today that are, really have a longevity. I mean, they've been preaching for 60, 70 years. And I mean, preaching that long. You think of T.L. Osborne and, Billy Graham. Well, Billy Graham, you don't see all the miracles in his ministry. But T.L. Osborne, all over the world, he went out on the mission field early and came back just dejected and everything because he preached his hardest and his wife did, T.L. and Daisy Osborne, and nothing happened. He came back. He had a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ actually came into his room and touched him. From that time on, when he went out and preached the word of God, people got healed. And he's affected countless tens of millions of people around the world because of that. You don't hear him much in the United States about who he is or anything. That's because he spent all of his time, most all of his time overseas, and affecting people tremendously and changing the life and the power of God throughout the world. Well, where is the church growing? Well, it's not growing that much in Europe or the United States. Where it's growing tremendously is overseas, in Africa, in the Far East, in India, in China, now over 100 million people that are believers in Jesus Christ and saved, especially in South America. You look down there in both Brazil and Argentina, there is a great sweeping across those nations of hundreds and thousands of millions of people being saved. Do you see it in the United States? No. You see a lot of people getting saved, but there's a lot of people that are growing cold and far away from the church. You see it in Europe? Not much. Actually, the ones that are having the greatest effect in Europe happen to be pastors and apostles that are coming from Africa, black men anointed by God that are coming into England and other countries of Europe, and great miracles are happening, and the churches are growing large, but it's percentage-wise is still small compared to the rest of the world. There's a very small number of being saved compared to the rest of the world. We're looking at a time right now that there's approximately maybe 150, 160,000 people a day dying, but right now there's also 200,000 people a day being saved, and a lot of them are being Muslims. I mean, just about a year ago, in a little less than a year's time, almost a million people in the country of Egypt got saved. I mean, there's a great move throughout Iraq and Iran and other places that in certain cities, everybody's getting saved in the day because they all have a dream. Everybody in the city will have a dream of Jesus the same night and see him coming to them. And revealing to them that it's Jesus, and they turn to God. They turn to not. They turn away from Islam. They turn to Jesus. That Jesus is God. That he's not just a prophet that they have accepted under Islam, but that he is the Son of God, which is against the Quran. According to the Quran, there God has no son, but this is alive and powerful. Well, let's get back to the book of Revelations. We've got this background. We see that the book of Revelations is written most likely during Nero's persecution. And so things are, when he's speaking to the church, then it's talking to various ones that you're going to go through persecution. Well, this is going to happen during Nero's reign somewhat. Certainly if anybody's near to Rome or under Domitian's reign later on during the latter part of John's life, yes, that they got very broad spread at that time around the Roman Empire. And then you think of even much later at about 250 A.D., there's a Roman leader, emperor called Decius, that was hunting out Christians all over the Roman Empire. So let's go to the book of Revelations and skip forward. And we sort of covered just briefly those seven churches. Let's look at this. And, you see, we don't have to just say this is history. Okay, let's make some applications to our own life. In chapter 2 of Revelation, it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus. So that angel means same as messenger or the messenger or the angel of the church of Ephesus. Write these things. He who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the golden lampstands. So he's talking about this is Jesus Christ, and says, I know your works and your labor and your patience. So he sees that, you've been doing a bunch of good things. You've been working. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. I see you've also got patience. And in other words, you're enduring. And that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. So they are not just wimpies. They're not wimps. These are people that are actively involved with their heart and soul. But it says, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake. So you've done all these things, and you've done it for the purpose of glorifying Jesus, and have not become weary. So you keep encouraging yourself. You keep going on. This is faithfulness. Nevertheless, he says, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works. This can happen to each one of us. We might think of this as far as church, as far as being Christians, or we might even think of this as a husband and wife. You start thinking in your relationship to your husband or your relationship to your wife. What does this say here that you've left your first love? Are you reacting the same as you did before you were married or you first married? Well, perhaps you've lost your first love. He's encouraging you to reestablish that first love with your husband or wife. Also, but here he's saying this about his relationship with you, that God's relationship with you, that it is important that you don't leave your first love. You need to stir this up. You did love God. You ask for forgiveness for your sins. If you haven't, well, this is the opportunity to do it right now, because there's only two types of fantastic people in this world. Did you know that? Yeah. That you're either saved or you're about to be saved. Which one are you? So I just ask you, if you haven't done this before, I ask you to just repeat this after me loud enough for your own ears to say. Here. Say, Father, God Almighty, creator of everything. Call him creator, father, whatever. But say, Father, forgive my sins. Then say, ask you to repeat this also. Jesus, come into my heart. Then say, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. So, my question to you, where is Jesus right now? If you prayed that and believed it, you could say that he's in my heart. See, we've asked the Father to forgive our sins. We've asked his Son to come into our heart. And then we've asked him, the Holy Spirit, to make us the kind of person that no longer that it's the type of person we want to be. You see, our desire is to be like him. So we ask him to make us the kind of people that he wants us to be. And then we just need to say, thank you for saving me. Also, for all of you that you know, the host of this program is not just this program, but this BBS is Don Newsom. Well, I just ask you also to pray for his brother right now. He's an identical twin, the two of them, and he has need of prayer right now. So I would just ask everybody that have appreciated the many things that have come through BBS, and there's such a stream of various things here, but that if you're appreciative of Don and making this way, that he and his brother have made this way for you to be able to listen to me and so many others, I'd ask you all to just pray with me right now in Jesus' name for his brother, Doug. So it's Don and Doug Newsom. So let's pray for Doug right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask for your healing power to come into Doug's body. We ask that his mind might be made clear, that if there's anything that he needs to do to change in his life, that might be revealed to him and that he might be obedient to you. But Father, we just ask for your healing power and touch to come upon Doug right now, that he might, that the pain and that perhaps the bones or anything in his back system that is causing excruciating pain, that those things in Jesus' name be made whole, that if there has to be as far as surgery there, that Jesus, you're the great physician, and we just ask for your surgical power to come into his body. And then for any chemical imbalances in his life that may be thrown with things way off, Father, we ask for correction there, that there might be made wholeness in that body. And so we just lift up Doug right now, and we speak love and health and forgiveness and grace and mercy into his life, that he might be made whole in every way, in Jesus' mighty name, and that you, Jesus, might receive the glory and honor for your great compassion and love on all of us. In Jesus' name, raise up Doug to total wholeness. Amen. Okay, praise God. It's gave us a chance to get right before God, and then also gave us a chance to sow seed. What's the sowing seed? Well, that is just praying those things that you see, we want to do unto others as we'd have people to do unto us. So if we, can you imagine you ever having any problems yourself? Well, what would you love people to do for you? To take care of the problems. Well, some things we perhaps can't reach out and do, some things we can do. But those things that we can do is get in touch with our Creator and then be in agreement with Him about the raising up and healing of others. So we just want to bring that up right now. So here we see these churches. And we're in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And so what does he say to these people? He says, okay, gave them all these commendations about all your labor and patience and how you persevere and but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Well, what is that? Well, that's saying certain people have special knowledge, that they are the separation, like the laity and the clergy, that there's a separation. Some people are just special and some are at a lower level. No, that's not the gospel. The gospel is that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and yes, God has given certain offices to the church. But that, if a person is in one of those offices, that doesn't make them any better than one that isn't in that office. They just have the responsibility to do whatever God has called them to do, but it doesn't make them any better than anybody else. Okay? Well, that's what Nicolaitans, they were trying to say, that there's certain people that are better than others, and there's a division between different layers, like serfdom and nobles and different classes. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And it goes on with that. Well, what happens in the next church in Smyrna? This is what it says there. It says these things. It says, I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So here's these self-righteous people over here. Now, we're not saying this, making this a blanket statement, certainly of Jews, because there's many God's fearing and righteous people among the Jews. But this group was in direct opposition and saying, but these people, these are of a synagogue of Satan. I mean, Jesus Christ is the one writing this, speaking to John, and so he's boldly saying that this there's a group here that is coming against you, and that they say that they are good and righteous, but they're actually from Satan themselves. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Well, what is this 10 days? Well, it may very well be a literal 10 days. Okay? There's also, if you're looking at this church over a period of time, we see at that time of Roman, there was going to be between the time of when this happened and that there was going to be the 10, there was actually 10 Roman emperors between Nero in his first few years wasn't the beast that he became. He truly became the beast, and his name in Hebrew was 666, because in Hebrew Greek translated the letters into they all had numbers, and the number of his name was 666. So let's not be worried about looking forward to some future event, that there's going to be some Antichrist in the future whose number is 666. Yes, we see the number bandied about in various forms. There may be or may not be some future beast to speak of, but we definitely know that the beast of Revelation was fulfilled in Nero himself. We have to mention in prior programs that he was exceedingly evil, that he kicked his pregnant wife to death. He had many other people of his family killed. He would have prisoners bound, and then he would bite off their, as far as their genitalia, male and female, and he would dress up as a beast. The number of cruelties and wickedness are far beyond any other Roman emperor, and he was called as a beast, not just by Christians, but by people at the time that were non-Christian historians, because he acted as a beast and was exceedingly cruel. So, let's go on. So, that period of time, he was the first of 10 emperors in a period of the next 250 to 300 years. There's many emperors that didn't persecute the church, or very mildly did. There was 10 that you could say, okay, 10 days, maybe it's 10, those 10 emperors that did persecute the church. So you could say it's a literal 10 days, or you could say it's the 10 emperors that did take an active persecution at least sometime during their reign against the church. So we could take that either way. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So this is important for us. We want to be obedient to the Lord. We want to not lose our love for Him. We want to be faithful unto death. God promises to give us the crown of life. It says, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Well, what is the second death? Well, if God said there's a second death, there's a second death. There's an old saying that either you're born twice and die once, or you're born once and die twice. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, that means that we live, and as we live, that somebody that lives and lives to themselves, then they not only die physically, but then they will experience a spiritual death as well. if somebody is born and then born again and turned towards God, reconciled towards God, then they will only experience the one death. Well, I'm afraid time has slipped by. Well, this is Dr. Don Callan coming to you from South Central Washington State, and it's cherry time. And so I hope you go out and enjoy some wonderful taste of cherries. It's they're not quite on the market yet, but they might be. They're just going to be starting packing, I think, this next Monday. And so within a week or so, there should be abundance between now and for the next 2 months. There should be plenty of cherries, and go out and enjoy some. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time. We ask your blessing upon everybody here, and we thank you. We lift up the name of Doug Newsom right again. We just ask for your healing power throughout his body in Jesus' name. And we ask that for every listener right here, that they might know your salvation, not only supernaturally and forever, eternally, but also now in this lifetime. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you all. This is Dr. Don Callan coming to you from South Central Washington State. Go with God all the days of your life. Bye-bye.